Let us pray.
Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have given us your holy word for our learning. Give us a strong desire to hear, to study, to understand, and perfectly to fulfill its instruction of truth, to the praise of your most holy name, forever and ever. Amen. A theme for reflection this morning is in the form of a question: what is the new birth? The Gospel of John records some of the personal encounters that Jesus had with a number of different people. Prominent among them are his encounters with Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, and Thomas in chapters 3, 4, and 20, respectively. And today we reflect on Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. And the question we need to ask and try to answer from that conversation or encounter that ensued, that conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, is: what is the new birth, or what does it mean to be born again? That question is important because it has continuously been asked since the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, more than 2,000 years ago. There are now many books and studies on the subject of born-again Christianity. For example, think of Charles W. Colson, one-time advisor to President Nixon of America, who was also implicated in the Watergate scandal. When he converted to Christianity, he wrote a book titled Born Again. Or think of the American novelist Kelly Kennis. She also wrote a book on that same title, Born Again, published in 2006. Robert Akoko, a Cameroonian sociologist, entitled his PhD dissertation, You Must Be Born Again, Pentecostalism in Cameroon and the Economic Crisis. And I am sure that some of you might have read Billy Graham's best-selling book, How to Be Born Again. So the concept of born again is a prominent one indeed. No wonder then that in the 1970s, journalists began to speak of the evangelical renaissance throughout the world as the born-again movement, and everybody started jumping onto the born-again parade. Today, it is estimated that every day 280,000 people convert to Pentecostalism, a born-again movement. And according to the Banner report of 2015, 17% of Scots claim to be born-again Christians. So it is suggested that more than 800,000 Scots, 17% of the population, report they have confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and have made a commitment to him as important in their lives, even though nearly half of them do not currently attend church. So the new birth is a very significant subject, especially for Christian people, and I think we need to ask ourselves whether I am born again or not. So let us turn again to our text for this morning. What can we learn about the new birth from the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus? There are two main lessons from our text. The first is we need to consider the nature of the new birth. The nature of the new birth. The new birth is not the same as physical birth. I suppose Nicodemus knew that very well. That to re-enter the womb of our mother and be born all over again is practically impossible. And that is why Jesus went on to say in verse 6 of our text, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, physical birth is one thing, and spiritual birth is another. B, the new birth is not a self-reformation or an effort to turn over a new leaf. No, the new birth is initiated from above. Verse 3. No one can see the kingdom without being born from above. And from above demonstrates that the new birth is the work of God. It's not then a new beginning by our own efforts from below. It is a new birth by the power and initiative of God from above. So the new birth is not a physical birth. It's not a self-reformation. And see, it's not the same as Christian baptism. Of course, we all know that baptism is a sign or sacrament of the new birth. But we mustn't confuse the outward sign of baptism with the inward reality of new birth. They are two different things. Baptism is a visible public dramatization of the new birth, which itself is an invisible and secret work of God within us. So, if the new birth is not physical birth, if it is not self-reformation, and if it is not the same as Christian baptism, what is it? The new birth is a spiritual birth. It is the emergence of a new person with a new heart and a new life. And mind you, the person who emerges is the same person. He or she has the same body, even the same temperament and the same personality, but the same person has a new heart and a new life, a new awareness of spiritual reality, a new relationship of love to God and our neighbor, and new aspirations as well. Grace does not change us and our personalities. Our bodies, intelligence, and natural aptitude remain the same. But a new life and new creation expresses itself through the same old person. As one commentator puts it, if you were an extrovert before you became born again, you would be an extrovert afterwards. But it will be easier to live with it. And if you were an introvert before you were born again, you will still be an introvert afterwards, but you would find it easier to live with yourself and with others. The same personality, but a new heart and a new life. You remember what God told the Israelites through the prophet Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. And the apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The nature of the new birth, what it is and what it isn't. Now, secondly, what are the results of the new birth? Just as physical birth is the beginning of a new life, so it is with spiritual birth. And according to Jesus, there are two characteristics of the new life that begins with the new birth. Because the new birth, first and foremost, enables us to see the kingdom of God. We have a new vision after our old blindness. We see spiritual realities that we have never seen before. Verse 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, the rule of God in the lives of men and women. For when a person is born again, his or her eyes are opened, and he or she sees things to which they were previously blind, including in the reality of the reign of God. Friend, there are many people who come to church every day and even read the Bible every day but have never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and so know nothing of the leadership of Christ. But when Christ comes into our lives, the scales fall off our eyes, and we begin to see and understand what we had never seen and understood before. And Christianity begins to make more sense because our eyes have been opened. So when we are born again, we see. And B, when we are born again, we enter. And where do we enter? We enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 5, I tell you that nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless born of water and of the Spirit. So when we are born again, we no longer resent the kingdom. We no longer resent the rule of God. No, we submit to the rule of God. We find out that his rule is perfect freedom, because if anyone sins, he or she is a slave to sin. But if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's a wonderful thing. We see what we haven't seen before, and we enter into an experience that we have not experienced before. Friend, when I became a Christian, or when I became born again, because of course in Africa, you would assume that almost everybody is a Christian or somehow religious, but a born again experience is different. But when I became born again so many years ago, an entirely new world was opened up to me. And since then, I have often felt in the presence of God lifted above and beyond myself, sometimes with angels and archangels. It's a wonderful experience. The nature of the new birth, the result of the new birth. And now, friends, let me ask the obvious question. Is it really necessary for us to be born again? Maybe somebody is asking that question already. Isn't being born again a rather exceptional experience? Isn't it a Baptist thing? A Pentecostal thing? Or those who call themselves born again? Do Presbyterians really need to be born again? Somebody is asking. And for those who are asking that question, the answer is yes. We all need to be born again. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. Without that experience, you neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. And the necessity of the new birth is clearly seen from the fact that it was to Nicodemus, of all people, that Jesus said it. Nicodemus was already a Jew, a member of the covenant people of God. He was a Pharisee, committed to the righteousness of the law. He was a teacher, a man of learning and of culture, and he was polite and appreciative of the ministry of Jesus. Nicodemus represented the finest and the noblest of Judaism. He was religious, moral, educated, and cultured. He even believed in the divine origin of Jesus. We know that you have come from God, he confessed. So what more could be needed? Well, it was all good, it was fine, but it wasn't enough. Jesus said, you must. Adding to all these things, you must be born again. And he added, don't be surprised that I say this to you. You must be born again. You know, friends, one of the devil's tactics is the manufacture of alternative offers and substitutes in order to confuse the people of God. If only we were respected and upright in the communities. If only we believed in God and admired the historic Jesus. If only we came to church and said our prayers. And this way the devil deceives us to celebrate our nominal Christianity and lulls us into a sleep of conscience while we dream that we have a first-class ticket to heaven. Don't be deceived. Nicodemus was all those things and more, But it was to him that Jesus said, "You must be born again." And so Nicodemus asked Jesus, "How can I be born again?" And Jesus' answer is that new birth is the work of God himself. Because spiritual birth takes place as a result of the gracious initiative of God himself from above and not from below. So Jesus said, it is like the wind. The wind blows where it wants to. You hear the noise. You see the effects. But you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it is going. But this doesn't mean that we have no responsibilities ourselves. We have to believe in Jesus Christ and repent from our sin. We have to be born of water and the Holy Spirit. And just as disobedient Israel looked to the bronze serpent for their salvation, when they had been bitten by snakes on their way to the promised land, every snake-bitten Israelite was given salvation that way. Now Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, as the bronze snake on the pole was a remedy for the snake bite, God's Son on the cross is God's remedy for sin. And as every snake-bitten Israelite must look at the serpent on the pole, so we sinners must look in faith to Christ, the Savior on the cross. So we need Jesus Christ in order to be saved. We need to seek him earnestly. Is there somebody here this morning seeking earnestly to know Jesus Christ as their Master and Lord? Then you are like Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus is presented as an example of what we might call an earnest seeker after the truth. It is true that he came secretly by night, but the important thing is that he came, and that he came personally. Nicodemus was not prepared to condemn the new movement without personally investigating it. He did not even think that because religious authorities disapproved of Jesus, he too should disapprove of him. No, Nicodemus wanted to verify the facts himself and then make his own judgment. So here is a man with an independent mind and an independent judgment. Here is a man we may call of integrity, an open-minded seeker after the truth and not a coward. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 teaches us that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And you remember Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek, and you shall find." And those who seek him would find him. And Nicodemus did find Jesus. That is why we find that at the end of the Gospel of John, Nicodemus had become a member of the Christian community. So again, I wonder whether there is somebody here this morning like Nicodemus. You are seeking to know Jesus intimately, to make him your Lord and personal Savior. You want a supernatural experience with the Lord. But let me ask you this supplementary question. Are you prepared to lay aside your apathy, your prejudice, and your fears, and seek Christ with an honest and humble heart? I tell you, friend, if you do that, your search would be fruitful. It is not enough to come to church every Sunday. You must be born again if you desire heaven. It is said that 1 in 8 Scots attend church once a month. That is, they are practicing Christians, but only half of those admit their faith has transformed their lives, which surely indicates that they should be called churchgoers rather than Christians. If following Christ does not change and transform your life to be like Christ and live for Christ, then you are yet to begin your journey of the Christian faith. To be born again is to enter into a new relationship with God. God adopts those born again as his children. Similar to those who are legally adopted, they experience a change of status, becoming part of God's family. Let us not be like those hypocrites in 2 Timothy who had a form of godliness but denied its power. You must be born again. Let us hear that again. Jesus says you must be born again. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because you have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. We want to confess to you, O Father, for times when we have neglected your name, O your Son, Jesus Christ, for times when we have failed to acknowledge him as our Master and our Lord. Forgive us and accept us as we are. And help us to experience you anew in our lives, that we may truly be born again towards eternal life. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.